Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors.
Powered by Salinity.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We have a very exciting guest today as we continue our podcast series here at the Thrive Center in Louisville, Kentucky. We welcome CEO and ED Sherry Rose.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you all coming in today.
Yeah, your hospitality so far has really been a very welcoming experience for us. You've opened up the entire place to us to have interviews and meetings. And it's, I think that for our audience and the people that are listening, it's something that's really, really special. We're going to cherish this memory and this time. I'm so glad that it's been recorded.
Yeah. So Lucas and I were talking. We had the opportunity to tour a little bit with you in the beginning and learn about it. We've been here podcasting all day. A lot of times when we have been doing this all day, like we're a little bit tired and, you know, just brains tired, we actually are energized. So the innovation that's here, the energy, and all that you're doing, it just wants, we want to be part of it. And so I just said, we feel like we're part of the family here now. And so thanks
and
for
you
the,
are. You
well,
are.
Thank you. So thanks for the hospitality. We are excited for our listeners that come from all walks of senior housing and services, different stakeholders, to hear, because there's a lot of people, I think this is like a nugget, a gem that a lot of people have heard of, but a lot of people haven't. And for those that haven't had an opportunity, I think they'll be able to see some of that on YouTube. But I want them to hear from you, like what you guys are doing here. But before that, maybe just tell a little bit about your background and what brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a 30-year career with AT&T Bell South, and so I was always on the technology side, and I had the government education and medical market, so ran a whole partnership operations, was the liaison to the governor's office for that operations. And what I realized is technology is only an enabler, and so it's for that person who needs the applications to work, it takes technology. It takes an infrastructure, which you've walked through the center, and you realize there's a lot of Wi-Fi connectivity and internet and all these apps, but they work because of that infrastructure that's underlying the technology. And so coming out of that, I had an opportunity to take a severance package. And I volunteered for it and said, yeah, I've had a long 30-year career. I took the last of the Bell South severance packages and went into healthcare consulting. And it was around 2016 when Joe Steyer, the CEO of Signature, came to me and said, will you help us navigate the politics of trying to drive collaboration here in town? And what a lot of people don't realize about Louisville is this is kind of the aging capital of the U.S. with all of the organizations that are headquartered here, and I think $76 billion done out of Louisville, and then over 200,000 employees. And so these organizations headquartered here touch all 50 states. And so with Humana down the street and Atria and Kindred and Signature and Trilogy and PharAmerica, and a lot of these are on our board as well, the CEOs of these organizations, what they realized is you have to be more innovative. Where we do innovation external here, we created a community asset. And so with Signature Healthcare having economic development incentives to relocate their headquarters back here, it became important to push it out into a 501c3. And so we are a nonprofit organization here. And what we do is open our doors and we partner with all of the organizations here in town. And so I will always say I no longer work for a career. I had a career. I work for a passion. And this gave me an opportunity to take healthcare consulting. And really, once I navigated the politics, then they came back and said, you know, you really need to be the face and run the center. And so I thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity for me to get back into an economy that is a growing economy, the longevity economy.
Well, it's exciting. So tell us a little bit about the your consumers, who you're serving here, because just in the short time that we've been here today, we've seen a variety of people walking through, looking at these different stations and technologies and innovations, and look like a lot of variety in the groups that come through here. So who are you attracting?
So here's what I would say to you. You kind of have to look at a glimpse into the future of what's happening. So there are 10,000 of us as baby boomers turning 65 every day. You're looking at 76 million baby boomers in the U.S. alone. And then you're also looking at 1.7 licensed beds in the U.S. So as we look at that aging population, you have to be thinking, where are we going to go? Who's going to take care of us? We will, as a baby boomer, outgrow the supply. And so we've got to be more innovative in our approach. And then the other thing that we always look at is you've got a generation that on an average only has about $50,000 of savings and for retirement. And when you look at the cost of care, you know, the Genworth cost of care study will tell you it's projected to be about $20,000 a month in 2040. So you've exhausted your savings. So what we want to do is give a glimpse into the future here of what it's going to be like with innovation to be able to age at home. And what we want people to capture when they walk through here is we're about living and thriving and not aging and dying. And when you look at the displays in here, you capture the personal stories of seniors and the possibilities. The Sister Buter in the back, 87 years old, running marathons and was a triathlete. She's known as the Iron Nun. And then you see just the everyday senior who talks about what it means to have to reinvent their lives. And so when they come through here, we wanted it to be an immersive experience. So I can tell you what we didn't want it to be, and that's a trade show floor. So where we have entrepreneurs that come in here, it's very much focused on what our theme is. Right now, our theme is around cognitive fitness, dementia, Alzheimer's disease. And we then challenge that tech company to give us a use case on how does your technology fit into that theme? How can you bring quality of life and quality of care to that person with dementia? And then we try and really develop programs around the technology, because I really think it's the programs that will draw the seniors in here. So consider us a marketplace. We're a convergence of that provider organization, always looking at innovative technologies, that entrepreneur who comes into town and may have difficulty in getting into the doors of these companies. They may have a great product. They may just need good feedback from that consumer. And so we serve that provider organization, the entrepreneur, the consumer is right at the top for us in getting that good quality feedback, and they're brutally honest with you. And then the researcher. We can do research out of here, too. What do seniors like? What works? What doesn't?
Well, it's been really cool, even while Lucas and I have been here, to see a couple of consumers that we've had the opportunity to share in some of their stories. But just a moment ago, they had the VR goggles on and just having a great time providing feedback, pros and cons, and things like that. So this is such a wealth of information. What is next here? I mean, it seems like you're always looking way ahead. What are you looking to now?
We are. With any innovation center, you have to maintain your relevancy, and you all know how quickly technology changes. And, you know, I grew up with technology, and I said, you know, if I ever go into a senior living community, I'm going to go in with my wearable, with my Amazon Alexa, with my Samsung Smart Remote TV. But I have two daughters, and my daughters are going to go in demanding it. Where I expect it, they will demand it because that's all that they've known. And they're more willing to accept technology. But now we're finding seniors that look at how, you know, you take a senior-friendly breezy tablet and how it can integrate all the apps for them. And they love it because they can sit there. They no longer have subscriptions. They're reading online. They can play their games online. They can do a video chat with their family members and Netflix. And so you think of, you know, our grandparents, technology has really brought a lot into the lives of these seniors. What's next for us is, as we have focused on dementia in here, we are now looking at 2019. What are we going to be? And we're really looking at more of a caregiving theme. And with that caregiving theme, there are a few things that are in common. Dementia can be one, and also movement disorders. Mm-hmm. So now, as we are going to revamp the front of the center here to do a dementia virtual reality walk, actually working with a company out of L.A., I thoroughly believe in partnerships. We can do more together than siloed. And so I reached out to the Alzheimer's Association, and I said, let us curate your message in here. And so this really becomes a curated center where we take the fear out of technology, and we invite them to come in to be educated, to immerse in the technology, to play with the virtual reality. And with the virtual reality that we will do around Alzheimer's, it's going to be more of that dementia walk and journey, where through the eyes of someone with Alzheimer's, you actually get to experience what it's like.
And this is fascinating. So like any thing that is a great thing, something that's worthy, you know, it has its challenges, it has its obstacles. What are maybe some of the obstacles and challenges, and how are you guys overcoming them?
So I would say the big thing is we always look at sustainability. There's a lot of excitement around what we're doing. It's getting the word out to say, come in here. The one thing we don't want to do is to charge a senior who may be on a fixed income to come in here and see the technologies, to be a part of the programs. You just heard Feet to the Fire. We partnered with Fund for the Arts to underwrite the writer's workshop, and they gave good feedback on, had it not been underwritten, they maybe wouldn't have signed up. Where they quit writing, they're now writing again. They found their voice. And so I think for us, in looking at that model where we're not an accelerator, for the companies that are in here, we don't take equity in those companies. We don't take commissions from those companies, because we would be conflicted in our view if we did.
Sure.
And we want what's been vetted out, what's commercially ready, and we want to bring it in here to where all of our visitors can really engage in that technology and then be a part of the programs. So outside of, we do have the support of the organizations here in town that help run the operations, but a lot of fundraising so that we can promote more and more programs through here. And we run a very lean operation as a new nonprofit startup. I have two part-time employees who work full-time.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, they say, your part-time workers are leaving. But they've been here all day with me, because we're all retired now working for a passion, and we believe in what we're doing in here.
Well, it's evident, right, Lucas?
Yeah. I mean, from our walkthrough, you've been able to accomplish a lot. I mean, to be able to bring some of the big names that are actually in here, to bridge the gap in some of the largest operators in the country, to support something that, and we may get into this in a minute, that might be a challenge to their actual business, which is the home. So you've accomplished a bunch of big tasks. Why don't you walk us through just verbally a couple of the setups that you have here with some of these companies, they're global companies that have backed putting their products in this building.
Yeah, they have. CDW, who came to us early on, they're probably one of the largest distributors in the U.S. of the big tech companies. So Apple, Samsung, Google, Lenovo, Intel, Aruba, and they came to the table and they said, we love this concept because there's nothing like this out there. You know, there are innovation centers that the ones that I visited, it's more about accelerators, and it's more about, co-working space and mentoring. But in here, we really took innovation and curated it into a message and to make it that immersive, engaging experience. And so for Samsung to come in here and to build out the Samsung Smart Home, they have integrated with Billy, which is a company that does a lot of the motion sensors that actually started in Australia. And they're headquartered out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then, Samsung has the macular degeneration glasses. So you think of seniors with macular degeneration and no longer reading. and no longer watching TV. Now they're able to put those glasses on and see, and sometimes for the first time. I consider Eversound, where we've implemented it throughout this center, and last week we did a silent disco with Eversound. And they're MIT grads, young guys, and they tell me they cry every day when they hear the stories of a senior who was maybe diagnosed with dementia. They didn't have dementia at all. They just couldn't hear. And so we can take those and do a high-definition experience here for the hearing impaired. And, you know, last week when Dr. Rue was in here, he's the chief medical officer for Samsung, and he said, Sherry, what if we staged in here an area where we focus on the sight impairment or the hearing impairment or gait and balance? And so you can bring seniors through here and you can get good feedback on some of these headsets on, you know, virtual reality. And you can run them through a gait and balance assessment. So, you know, that's an interesting one where we partnered with Bellarmine. And their PT students come in here, and they get hands-on learning with seniors, and they get a gait and balance assessment. They use the VirtuSense technology. No one has to know how that operates other than that PT, but it's cloud-based, and right away they get a fall risk score. And then we can refer them out. But what I like about that is the whole ecosystem is connected when we're doing that. Workforce is a huge issue, and especially for these organizations in town. I mean, you talk about going to a caregiving theme and the caregivers that it will take. What we're looking at is, you know, how do we recruit and how do you take a PT student getting their doctorate, give them hands-on training, and then they actually say, I want to go into geriatrics. We heard that in here after they came through a semester. And I thought, how cool, because most of them want to go into sports medicine. And to have him come out and say, I'm staying in Louisville, I want to go into geriatrics, and to look at these organizations in town that are in need of more and more employees going into, you know, it could be a CNA, it could be a nurse or an OT, a PT.
That outreach function of this, of recruiting and bringing people into the business, is such a key component to this, don't you think?
I think it's critical. It's one of the big challenges as operators. We're all scratching our head and everybody's kind of thumb in the wind. You know, what do you do? So this center, I think, is a big catalyst for talking points and pivot points where we can actually help find some solutions. I've been fascinated. You know, it's awesome that our listeners get to hear about this maybe for the first time, but you got to see it. I mean, just the experience of I called, for lack of a better term, the smart kitchen over here, which everybody should have a smart kitchen. Now that I'm seeing that, the benefits are transcend the ages, but the technology that's being brought together to collaborate is fascinating.
Yeah, and so I'm interested to ask this question. So I'm a partner to the industry, and one of the things that I hear when I go to conferences is that the biggest competition to the senior living industry is the home, and yet this is a innovation center that is largely centered around innovation and technology in the home, so the senior can live the life that basically the path that they want to live, but yet you've been able to partner and get backing and buy-in from some of the largest operators in the company. So maybe it's a naive question from a partner, but I'd be interested to figure out how you've bridged that gap.
Well, when you think of a CDW who's a distributor, and you think of the challenges of an entrepreneur, and I have a heart for the entrepreneur because I see them come in here. And, you know, I see them stay at the bed and breakfast in town, and sometimes they'll tell you stories where they sleep in their car because cash, they're strapped. You know, they're trying to keep their finances down and their burn rate. And so what we're able to do for that entrepreneur that comes in here is I will invite people to come over. I'll have Dr. Rothman from Kindred, Dr. Nazir from Signature, Dr. Furman from the Institute at University of Louisville, and they will give them good feedback on their product. And it may be, on Carrie Shaw's with Embodied Labs, the virtual reality tour, I actually had hospice come in too, and they were able to give her good feedback. She could go back and maybe augment what she's doing. And then once they're commercially ready, then you have the CDWs and others that want to pick them up and distribute for them, because that's also a challenge. I've been asked, what are you in here? Are you B2B or are you B2C or are you B2B2C? I said, you know what, all of the above. But I said, if you put on your entrepreneur hat for a second, where are you going to go first? Mm-hmm. You're going to go to the enterprise because it's the quickest way to drive a revenue stream. But through here, could we introduce them to the consumer market too, as well as the provider market? And so we really open up a lot of possibilities here. And so making those connections, for a Dr. Rue at Samsung to say, we invested in this center and we want to launch new products out of this center, mm-hmm. because they see the possibilities here. And we have organizations from the East to the West Coast that will host a meeting in there like last week, where they're listening to Samsung and they're listening to Intel, mm-hmm. talk about this is the future. Sure. And so they get a glimpse into the future. They can walk through here and they see possibilities. And then we can be that referral out. And
sure.
That's really how we kind of tie the ecosystem together. But I have to tell you, probably through CDW, they found us. Mm-hmm. And they realized the concept of what we were trying to build out here, and they wanted to be a part of it.
So, Josh, I know that you have a heart and passion for multi-generational living. And in that same question that I had, this technology, it plays out in an operational setting. It plays out in a community setting, too. And I imagine that on the forefront coming in the future is that this technology is going to be based in a care environment where people are living. And so what are your thoughts, maybe the multi-generational spin on this, and just the technology moving into these communities?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the challenges that providers are facing right now is because it is so rapidly changing. There's so many technologies out there. There's so many similar technologies out there. And providers, I think, oftentimes want to be on the cutting edge, but it's so difficult to balance with everything that they're doing on a daily basis to be able to vet what's best for them. Because, technology is great, but what's the application and how are they going to apply it? And user friendliness, consumer friendliness, and things like that. I think that's one of the real critical pieces here that what I've seen is you do a lot of the vetting for them, and you,
right.
you actually kind of, again, we may overuse this term, but bridge the gap to where you piece it together of how these technologies can even work together for actually solutions. And I think, the multi-generational model, there's a lot of drivers, I think, that will kind of force that change to occur. But one of the drivers is looking for more affordable concepts. And I think there is, sometimes a resistance to change in general. Our industry is not what it was 10 years ago. And 10 more years, it's going to be radically different than it is today. So the center here, to me, is a great opportunity for people to come, to partner, to learn. I do think you're breaking down the silos, and that's something that we talk about a lot on Bridge the Gap, that's something in a competitive business,
right.
a competitive industry. We need something like this that's kind of a neutral zone to bring people together. So it's exciting.
Great conversation, Sherry. We are so grateful for your time today. You've rolled out the red carpet for us and really given us a lot of your time and energy. And I've learned a lot while we've been here, and I think that it's going to be great content back to our listeners and audience. So the conversation doesn't end here. It goes back to online, and we encourage our listeners to engage with us on our social channels. And thank you again for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.